good afternoon. Welcome to Christ Covenant Church. We are thankful that the Lord promises to be with us as we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are, we trust that by His grace we may worship Him in a way that is acceptable and also a way that is beneficial and upbuilding to His people. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin. Reminder, in the bulletin you'll see an announcement for the church picnic outing. That's actually at Musreau Lake, so that's about a 45-minute drive. We're hoping to begin around 2-ish next Saturday, June 30th. So if you can make it, please by all means do so. Further details are on there on the back of your bulletin in terms of what to bring and so on. Also, garage sale part 2. It's coming up. Garage sale part 2 is coming up on July 7th, and that will be at the Callahan's this time from 9 until 3. And we have some items for prayer as well. We'll be praying for Krisha, who is having back spasms, as well as Lydia has an allergy attack from a weed, apparently. So we'll certainly pray for them. It's the Lord who calls us to worship. Let us stand and hear God's call. These words are from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Congregation, where does your help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us begin our worship by turning to page 305 in the Cantus Christi. 305, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Lord God Almighty,
and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. May be seated. The scripture reading this afternoon is from the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 65. As we prepare to confess our sins together, we hear God's word of correction, of instruction, as well as of grace. Gracious promise in these words from Isaiah. Hear the word of God. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together," says the Lord. "Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it,' so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall become a pasture for flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. But you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune and fill cups of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen, but you did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not delight in. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for breaking of spirit. You shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse. And the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. So far the reading of Scripture. Congregation of Christ, we are here in the presence of Almighty God. Let us with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, so that we may obtain forgiveness by God's infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Congregation, arise. Hear the good news of God's forgiveness. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia, praise to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory to you, O Lord, both now and forever. Alleluia.
You may be seated. With the assurance that in Christ we may come boldly to the throne of grace, we now turn to our God in prayer. A gracious and holy God who dwells in unapproachable light, we acknowledge your grace in calling us to your throne, your grace in recognizing us as those who have been included in Christ, that we have been buried with him in baptism and raised up with him in newness of life, that we have been clothed with him and therefore have become your heirs and your children. Father, we acknowledge that this is not by works that we have done, but by your overabundance of grace that you have lavished upon us. Father, we thank you that you have called us here on this day to glorify your name, to gather together as your people and hear your voice and recognize your goodness, recognize your character, and be built up to walk again this coming week in newness of life, after the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we have so gathered, you would minister to our hearts, you would minister not only to our minds, but our whole beings, that we may serve you with our whole beings, with our hearts, our minds, our strength, all our might, that we may please you in all things. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the glorious one, and we seek to give you glory. And so we pray that you would strengthen us by your Spirit to do so. And Father, we also acknowledge that as the God of might and power, you have assigned all authority in heaven and on earth to your Son. And therefore, all of the authorities that exist are ordained by him. And Father, we pray for those who are in authority in our land. We pray for those who are in government on the federal, provincial, and local levels. We pray that you would cause them to recognize their dependence upon your will and your goodness, and that they would seek to govern in a way that is not independent or simply based upon the votes of people, but they would recognize that they are answerable to you. We pray also for those who have been placed in the seat of judgment. We pray that you would bring justice to our land and that your word would govern us and be a light before the eyes of those who judge. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the bonds, the ties that we have to so many of your people, not only here in Grand Prairie, but across the globe as our Lord Jesus Christ builds his holy Catholic Church. Father, we pray that you would grant to us grace, that we may not be proud, that we would not think of ourselves as the be-all and end-all, but that we would recognize the grace that you have extended to our brothers and sisters, that we would seek to express our unity with them, in ways that are pleasing to you and edifying both to us and to them. Father, we pray for the federation of which we are a part. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the CREC. We pray for the pastors, especially, and the elders who seek to lead your church faithfully. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray that your word would be their ultimate guide. We pray that you would make of us an example of purity, of delight in your word, of obedience and submission to that word, and of grace, that we may not only proclaim the gracious gospel, but live it out with graciousness of speech and love in our lives. Father, we remember those in our own congregation. We pray especially for those who are not well. We pray for Krisha Morin as she suffers from back spasms. We pray that you would grant her your healing touch. We pray that you would help her to bear up under this trial. We pray also that you would continue to address her feelings of tiredness and that you would restore her wholly. We pray also for Lydia. We pray that you would grant her restoration from the effects of these allergies. We pray that you would help her to feel better and help her to know your hand of healing and your gracious presence. Father, we thank you for your grace, and again, in bringing Mike Jocelyn to us, we anticipate the inclusion of Mike in our membership, and we pray that you would continue to bless him among us and make us a blessing to him and he to us. We pray that you would strengthen and build your church, not simply in numbers, but also in holiness and love. Father, we pray for, we thank you for Jamie's trip. We thank you for bringing him back safely to us. We pray that the ears that have heard his music, the words of Scripture, would also continue to bear fruit in the days to come and in their lives. We pray also for Voice for Life and for Kev's kids. We thank you for the walkathon that we were able to participate in yesterday, and we pray that you would work your blessing in this community through these means. We acknowledge that it is easy for us in our day-to-day lives, when not confronted with the fate of the unborn, to forget about them. We pray that you would help us to be conscious of it, conscientious concerning it, that we would continue to labor as you would have us labor to rescue those who are in danger. Father, we pray all these things knowing that you are the God who has promised a kingdom, and in light of that, we pray as your Son taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will sing together the words of the overhead, Psalm 119, 89 to 96, and then 97 to 104.
I will never forget your precepts. for by them you have given me life. I am yours, Savior, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimony. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Your law has not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. If your law has not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life.
Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dale Callahan. I'm one of the elders of the church, and we're going to be preaching through the second chapter of Proverbs today. We'll be reading from verses 1 to verse 6 in chapter 2. Let us pick up our ears and listen, as this is God's word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let us bow and ask God to bless his word to our hearts. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to hear your word. Lord, you have made us, Lord, you govern all things, and Lord God, you are our Savior. You are the one who's called us out of darkness into your light. And Father, we ask, as you've given us your word, Lord, that you would, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. We ask that you would pour your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we just wouldn't be hearers, but we would be doers of your word. And give us a love for your law, Lord, that it would be our meditation all the day. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Each of us in this room here today, we all have something in common. And it's not just us in this room, it's everyone who walks and lives on this planet we call Earth. And you have this in common, whether you like it or not. We're all on a journey, and this journey that we have has a beginning, and this journey we have has an end. Each one of us, God brought conception, we were born, and one day, each one of us is going to die. The Bible says we know it's going to happen. It's appointed for each of us to die, and then comes the judgment. Now, what I want us to see is the starting line is the same for us. We're all born, and yes, we're all going to die. But after we die, the destination of all men is not the same. As much as there are people today who get very angry and they scream and they cry and they pound, right? That no, there's no such place as a place of torment. There's no such place for punishment forever and ever. There is. Jesus says there is a place that you will go if you reject God and you reject the salvation that He has, that you're going to go to hell. As much as the world in our culture today hates that. The good news is there is everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where this is leading is God is calling us to walk in this journey, and He calls us to walk as wise men and not to walk as fools. I had a young man ask me this week, well, what is wisdom? Right? If we're to be wise, if we're to walk in wisdom, well, what is wisdom? And I'm going to give us just a very short and a very simple answer to that. Wisdom is looking at the world, it's thinking about the world, and it's living and interacting in this world the way that God says that we're to look at it and think about it and interact in it. Because God is the maker of this world, and we're not just to take on ourselves, well, I think the world should be like this. You're not God, and it doesn't matter what you think. Right? Now, hold on. He's getting rude. Well, no, I'm not getting rude. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Lord thinks. Wisdom is not us cramming our brains full of facts so that we can be these eggheads sitting in our studies and boy, oh boy, do we know a lot. No, we need to start leaving the studies. We need to start entering this world with the treasures and the gifts that God has given us so that we can take the world over for the glory of Jesus Christ. Last time I spoke, I was sharing that the Proverbs 1:7, which I shared last time, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we become wise people? Well, it's the fear of the Lord. And I'll just give us a quick review because you've heard this the last time you're here. The fear of the Lord is not just, right? Well, he's already talked about hell. How come he's just going to keep beating this? Well, I'm saying, no, the fear of the Lord isn't just you knowing that God punishes sinners and God's angry at sin. Yes, we need to know that about God. But if you want to have a biblical understanding of what the fear of the Lord is, then you need to understand God for all of who He is. It's not that God just punishes sinners. It's God, He loves us. He loves sinners. He saves sinners. God is good. He's merciful. He's all wise. And as we start to get this full-orbed understanding of who God is, then you're going to start to understand the fear of the Lord. The way that God in His Word says that this is what the fear of the Lord is. And God says, and when you start getting just a glimmer and a taste of who I am like this, then you're going to start hating evil. It's not, oh, I just hate evil because I'm going to go to hell. No, it's, I love God. And God is so great, and He's done so much for me, and He upholds me, that I don't want to sin because I love
God.
And so today, I want us to see where the fear of the Lord, this fear that I'm talking about, where it is to be found, where true wisdom is to be found. So, let's begin. In verse 1, Solomon says, "My son, if you receive my words." Solomon says this, but I'm going to take us the one step up. The Holy Spirit, the Lord God, is speaking through Solomon. So God is saying, if you receive my word, then you're on the step to wisdom. God says, I want you to receive my word into your life. I want you to receive my word into your heart. And when you think heart, I want you to think steering wheel. It's what leads and guides. When God's speaking about your heart, He's not speaking about this muscle that's boom, 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 and you're pumping blood to your body. He's speaking about the control center of your life. What leads you? What guides you? Why do you do what you do? It's because of your heart. And God is saying, if you receive my word into your heart, into your life, right, then this is the beginning point. Now, I think all of us are old enough, but if someone says, receive, what's receive? I give you something, you take. Once you've taken it, you've received it, right? We all understand what receive means? So can we just receive God's word in just any old way? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. No, we're not supposed to receive God's in any way. We see in the same passage, we're supposed to receive God's word as treasure. He says, receive my word and treasure my commands within you. So we're supposed to receive God's word like a treasure. I'm going to give us a couple examples here. A long, long time ago, when I used to be a bodybuilder, in my off season, I wanted to gain lots of weight. And I'm not saying this was the right way to do it. I think back now, and this wasn't the right way. But I've gained lots and lots of weight. And so one of the things I did was I would get this plate of spaghetti, and it would be like big, right? So I'd hork through that. And then I'd say to my buddy who I was living with, I'd fill her up again and say, okay, now I'm going to eat another plate. You time me. I'm going to eat it in 30 seconds. Right? Because you have to fool your stomach, right? So I'd just be eating the spaghetti and I, no word of a lie, I would have to concentrate for 5 minutes so I wouldn't throw up. Right? Afterwards, I was just, right? Did I gain lots of weight? Yeah, I was a moose. I was the size of a house, right? Now, if you came up to me with a present and you said, Dale, got a present for you, and you slid this up and I'm, I got presents, right? So I open up the box and there's a banana split, right? Now I've received this present. I'm looking at it and it'd be like, right? I'd think, I couldn't eat this, right? I can't eat this because I'm full. I'm satisfied in, you know, oversatisfied. Now, when contest time came, I dieted for 6 months of the year. Right, and then in the last 2 weeks of that contest, I was watching like a hawk. Everything I went into my mouth, and I was drinking just water and eating chicken breast. Like it was just it was like a concentration camp diet, right? And so I lost 55 pounds in that 6 months. And by the time of the contest, I was hungry. So after the contest, if you came out to me and said, "Dale, I got a present for you," and I opened that same present, and it was a banana split, I wouldn't even use the spoon. It would have been just like, blah! Right? I would have just, and now I would have received it. But how did I receive it, right? I received the same present, but one I received, and it was like, and the other one I received it, and it was like, wow, I want that. And God says, that's how I want you to want my word. I want you to open it just like, oh, I want that. It's not like, I can take it or leave, right? God wants us to have Him and His Word as a priority in our life. A priority means God wants number one spot. Now, you know and I know that there's many things in this life that want to sidetrack you and they want to take your view off of Jesus. George preached, the last time he preached, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the one we're to fix our eyes on. And Satan wants us to look at everything else. And he's got a whole lot of things for to take our view off of Jesus. I was listening a time back to a pastor. He went off to India. And he says, well, he was in India. He's talking to this woman, and she was a missionary there. And she says, oh, I went to the United States quite a few years ago. And he said, oh, he says, are you thinking of going back sometime? She says, oh, I hope not. And he says, well, why not? And she says, the idolatry over there is rampant. And he says, I had to scratch my head. He says, because as she was saying this, we were standing in front of this building. He says, for my best understanding, he says, was an altar to the chicken god. Right? People came there and they offered their chickens here, right? And he says, now, she's saying that the United States is full of idolatry. And he says, can you please sort of tell me what you mean? And she says, you drive down the road and she says, on every street, there's 10 restaurants. She says, you people, your belly is your god. And she says, I drive by these huge complexes and these huge arenas where you have these sporting events. And he says, people spend millions of dollars and you lift up these athletes like they were gods. And she says, you spend other millions of your dollars watching and entertaining yourself with movies. And again, you lift up these movie stars and you treat them like they were gods. And she says, you people spend every waking moment of your life wondering how you can make more money. She says, Mammon is your god. And this man said, and it just dawned on me. He says, when you're in a different culture, it's easy to pick out the idols. Oh, idol chicken god, right? Well, that's an easy one. It's a little harder when all of a sudden you're consumed with, I just watch 8 hours of TV a day. That is your idol. If money, if that's all you can think about, is how can I make more money? That is your idol. What consumes you? What is your passion? And Jesus says, I am to be your passion. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now notice, he didn't say, where you say your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He says, where your treasure really is. And now here I'm going to pull out the old boxing gloves and give it to the husbands a bit. Don't say, husbands, my wife, she's my greatest treasure. Don't say that. If you don't even ever talk with your wife. If you don't sacrifice things that you like in your life for the better of your wife. If you don't deny yourself for your wife. If you don't like sitting down and listening to what she has to say. And you sharing her and saying, you know what, I love you. And you're pretty. And I think you're pretty all right. You're my friend. Then don't tell people that you treasure her. Because it's a farce. Right? And don't say, you know what, the most valuable thing in my life are my kids. If you never spend time with your kids. If you never play with your kids. Because where your treasure is, that's where that heart's going to be. Right? And don't say, Jesus is number one on my list. When if someone looked at your life, they'd think, man, I'm not sure if he makes the top 25 on the list. Where is Jesus in this equation? In this little game of life that we're living, we have these decisions, and I call them the big trade. And you know what the big trade is? Is whether it's you, or whether it's you, or, you know, I could point my finger to anyone. It's not like God gives Benita 28 hours of the day, and he only gives me 23. I got ripped off, right? How come she gets more hours? No, God gives us all the same amount of hours in the day. You have to sleep, right? And if you don't sleep for as much as you can. I know with me, if I, for a time there, I tried to get by, you know, get five hours of sleep a day, and then after a while, Benita would say, you're going to get sick. She'd see it in me, I'd say, bah, what do you know? You know, 2-3 weeks later, I'm on the couch for a week, right? Fever, and so in the last year, I've given myself an hour extra a day, and thank God that that's enough where my body isn't shutting down. So we need sleep, we need food, we need drink, right? There's things in our life, unless you have millions of dollars stuffed under your mattress at home, you need a job, that's going to take up hours of your day. But what I want you to see is in the big trade, then what you view as a priority in life, what you have as priorities, then that's what's going to be first. You're going to have those on the list, and then you're going to start trading other things. Right? Well, maybe I don't need to do this as much. I'll set it aside. Oh, maybe I don't need to do this. I'll set it aside. And I'll tell you right now, making something a priority in your life, it has amazing power. You know how powerful it is? When you make something a priority, you're willfully saying, I'm going to deny myself for this. I'm going to deny my time for this. I'm going to deny energy, money, and comfort for this. And I'll give you an example for this. If someone says, Dale, you just got $10,000, and now you're going to spend this $10,000, you're going to take square dancing lessons at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd go, come on, really? Like, I don't want to have to wake up at 5:30 to make it for a 6 o'clock square dancing lesson. Like, if you said, Dale, you have to go to the dentist to get your teeth drilled without any local anesthetic, I'd say, yeah, I think I'll probably pick that over the square dancing, right? But you know what's amazing? Now, I know as I say this other thing, other people are going to go, I think I'll pick the square dancing. I had times in my earlier days of working out that one of the workouts I had is you weren't allowed to eat 14 hours before you worked out. So my last meal stopped at 4 o'clock, and I worked out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I worked out so hard that most of the time I ended up throwing up, and you're so dizzy, or just like, oh, you know, trying to get out to the car. Now, you tell most people, hey, what do you do for fun? Well, I'm working out till I throw up, and I don't eat for half the time. They're like, why? Why in the world? Right? They think it's absurd, right? But my priority is I wanted to be in shape. I want to go in contests. I want to win, right? So that's my priority. And so the things that other people thought were screwy, I thought is, hey, this is okay. I want to do it. So that's what a priority, making something a priority in your life, that is what it will do to you. Yeah, make you weird. Which, another way, you know what? If God says, be holy for I am holy. Holy means set apart and different. So we laugh at that, but the world looks at us as if we're weird, right? You are. You're holy. You're set apart. You're different from them. In my first year as a Christian, there was a man, his name was Fred Knipp. And Fred was a broken record. And I love Fred because he was such an encouragement to me. Every time he talked, he was, you've got to be in the Word. You have got to be in the Word of God. Right? But he wouldn't stop there. He'd say, because Jesus is the Word. And if you love Jesus, you love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to want to spend time with Jesus. I love my wife. I want to spend time with my wife. I love Jesus. And I want to spend time with Jesus. And if my life gets really busy, I'm going to shuffle so that I can spend time with Jesus. Because I love Him. Right? And so Fred always said this. And it was always such an encouragement that we need to spend time with Jesus. And so I want us to see the comparison. And don't raise your hand, but you need to ask yourself. Because we all fall into the trap of one of these. Right? I'll call it duty devotions. I am a good Christian boy, right? Because I wake up early and I have my devotion time, right? So, wake up early, check, right? And I read my two chapters, check. And I pray, check. And you know what? We can do that. But remember in the book of Revelations, Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus. And he says, you guys have done a lot of good things, right? You're fighting against false teachers, the Nicolaitans, right? You're weighing those who call themselves apostles, and you're showing that they're not. So these guys had some doctrinal knowledge. And he says, and you've labored for Jesus' name, for my name's sake. He says, but this I have against you. You've lost your first love. Why are you doing these things? Is it just, you know, I got to do my duty, right? You know, Christians read Bible. Well, why do the Christians read the Bible? Because you love Jesus. Why do you want to talk to people and share the gospel? Because Jesus is so great in your life, you want to tell them about Jesus. Right? It's all about Jesus. Right? And the other one is exactly what I've just said. It's called love devotions. I want to wake up early. Why? Because I want to be with Jesus. And I want to pray because I want to tell Jesus my struggles or tell Him the great things He's done and thank Him and read the Bible to hear, right? It's a relationship. We have communication. We eat with Jesus. It's great. How many of you wives would say you felt really honored because your husband said, you know, Dale, why do you hang out with your wife? Well, I'm a husband, right? I have to. Right? Oh, my wife would probably, oh, that's such a beautiful thing to say. She'd be like, what? We hang out together because you think you have to? I thought it was because you love me. Oh, right, yeah, that's the reason, right? That's what we love. You love your wife. You love your friends. That's why you want to be with them, right? So, we have receiving God's Word. We have receiving it in such a way it's a treasure. And then in verse 2, it says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. So what does it mean to incline? Incline means to prick up your ears. It means to cause your ears to listen. To force your ears to strain to hear. Now, if I said anyone, you know, if I had a 200-pound weight here, you're lifting the weight up, you'd be strained, right? Some less than others, but you're still, your muscles are straining to pick that up. You need to strain your ears to God's wisdom, to listen to what the Lord has to say. And some people, well, I'm still not getting the example. You know, I can understand straining your back, your legs. How do you strain your ears? I'll give you an example. And I'm sure that if you're a little bit older and if you're a little younger, maybe you'll get it too. I want you to put your imagination caps on. You're home alone. All alone. Right? And you're not just home all alone in the daytime. You're home all alone and it's midnight. And the wind's blowing. Right? It's howling outside. You hear the dog barking in the distance. Right? And you're laying in the dark and you've got the covers up because you're home alone in the dark. And all of a sudden, something goes bump downstairs. What do your ears do? You know what your ears do? They get the size of Dumbo. And you're just like, whoa! What is that, right? And you're just, it's almost like if you could send out these ropes trying to get every bit of sound downstairs, right? Was that what I think it was? No, maybe it was the neighbor's screen door banging, right? And so your ears are listening with all your might. What is that? Right? And God says, I want you to strain your ears to hear wisdom. Each of us have a little switch somewhere on us. I can't see where exactly it is. I don't know where mine is either, but it's called selective hearing. Does everyone know what selective hearing is? You know, there's a lady, and I used to work with her in Red Deer. Her name was Betty. Betty could talk really fast, and she'd tell me stuff at work, you know, about different postal codes, and you know, and the TOH and the TOA, and she'd go on. And there'd be times where I just turned off, right? So, and she'd be, the words would be bouncing off me. And the one time she goes, are you listening, B. Dale? And I went, no, Betty, I'm not. I can't remember where I actually stopped hearing you, but I, and so she just laughs. Oh, get out of here, right? But never do that to God. We should never have selective hearing of God. When God speaks, we need to listen. And I'm going to share a secret with you. Your ear is going to incline. Your ear is going to strain to listen to that which it loves the most and to that which it desires the most. And that which it thinks is really so-so, you might listen, you might not. I'm going to give us some helpful hints here today. When God is talking, you shouldn't be. So that means when God's word is being read or God's word is being preached, you shouldn't be having a conversation with each other. So what are you doing after this? God is speaking through His word, and we need to listen. If you're listening to God's word, and you read, well, I like to do my devotions in bed, you know, and after six verses, you're asleep, right? Got any helpful hints, Dale? Get up! You know, like, have a cold shower, you know, anything. Like, if you need to be awake, then do it, right? I had a pastor, he's 90 years old now, Pastor McLeod. Pastor McLeod is still preaching. God's still using him. He says, who here prayed before you came today that God would bless the word to your heart, that you could be fruitful? Okay, well, he says, if you don't get anything today, you know who to thank, right? You come to church expecting. You come to church of, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say today so that I can go out and I can practice it. We have a rule in our home, or we had one anyhow, because our children are all at a certain age. But, you know, you have little kids who are babies, and, you know, nap time usually was 2 or 3 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? So when Sunday came, one of the boys or one of the girls or Dave, if it was their nap time on Sunday, it was nap time. But then as the kids got older, all of a sudden nap time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to Saturday, it ended. But you know, it's a real amazing phenomenon. But they wanted to still have nap time on Sunday during the afternoon service. They wanted to sleep. And it was like, no go. Right? If you're not napping anywhere else, then you shouldn't be napping now. And you know what? It's something that we need to fight on. And you can try to, if you have to pinch yourself or you have to sit up, but start trying to incline the ears, because it is a temptation and a tendency that when we come here, It shouldn't be nap time. It should be time to listen to Jesus' time, right? And then the Lord says, and apply our heart, or your heart, to understanding. Again, what is the heart? It's the steering wheel of life. It's that control center. So the picture that we have of, you know, you see the picture of someone climbing up the top of the mountain, and they get there, and there's the Swami, right? Ooh, he's got the little bells. The old beard right down to his belly, and he's got his scrolls, and oh, it's the wise man. He's wise because he stayed up on the mountain his whole life, just reading and meditating. Is that the picture of wisdom that the Bible gives? Jesus went up on the mountain a lot. And you know what? He did spend a lot of time by himself praying to his Father. So there's nothing wrong with going and being alone. But Jesus didn't stay up on the mountain. Jesus came down from the mountain. And he loved people. And he wanted to take the truths and the words of God, and he preached the gospel to people, and he healed them, and he fed them, and he touched them, right? He was a part of life. So what's wisdom? It's taking these wonderful truths and applying them to our lives. And the very first verse Benita and I memorized together was James 1:22. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Right? If we're just the eggheads packed full of, you know, I can explain everything, what it means, how to evangelize, do this. Do you evangelize? Well, no, but I can tell you everything about it. Well, you know, start trying it. You know, apply what you know. That wouldn't have looked good. Went from page 2 to 4. Now, you might be saying today, but I don't treasure God's word. Like, I don't receive God's word like a treasure. And I don't strain my ears like Dumbo, you know, trying to listen to God's word. And I don't apply God's word to my heart. And my encouragement to you is you should not be, don't look at yourself and then just say, well, so I quit. I give up. There's no hope. Because there's many things in this world that are there to harden your heart and to take your eyes off the Lord. Jesus says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Right? They're there. That's what they're there. And they're going to choke the word out of you. So what do? Do you look at you? Do you trust in you? No. Don't trust in you. God says, look to me. If you don't have a desire for me, and if you don't love my word and desire to spend time with me, he says, then cry out to me. Right? He says, cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Don't just pray once and say, you know, I prayed once that God would give me a love for his word, and it never happened. You know, so I quit. No. You keep crying out, Lord, give me a hunger for your word. And then if you don't have that hunger, go to the word. Because the word is like salt. You put it in your mouth and it makes you thirstier, right? So you pray and then you go to the word and you read and you pray and you go and you pray. And God will work in your heart a desire and a hunger for him. Any relationship stands or falls on communication. God speaks to us, and as we pray, we speak to the Lord. God speaks to us in his word privately, and this is where it's, you know, it's just not all devotions. Devotions of, well, I read my couple chapters a day. Are you coming to church? Because remember what I said about selective hearing? Sometimes coming to church, especially if pastor likes doing toe stomping, right? Can almost be like selective hearing, right? Well, I read the Bible, and sometimes we can read the things we want to hear and maybe read over things that we're hanging on to, sins in our life that we're hanging on to. And if you go to church, maybe the pastor, he's going to be stomping on your feet a bit. Right? But the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible says, a wise man receives a rebuke and he learns from that. So, come. Listen to God's word. If you get your toe stomped on a bit, and then maybe God's saying, wake up, right? Need to confess this sin, God says, I'm abundant in forgiveness and I'll give you strength to live. How should we be seeking the Lord in His word and prayer? Then we go on. He says, I want you to seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. And I ask each of you a question, young and older, is God valuable to you? It's good, Eden. I'm glad. Because you know, when we look at these crazy people called treasure hunters, they go into the deepest, darkest, bat-filled caves, right? They go to mountaintops, they go into jungles filled with wild animals and wild natives, and they're at the bottom of the ocean swimming in shark-infested waters because there's these golden or silver artifacts that they view as treasure. And you know how they view them? Is they're going to dig for them. And they're going to dig and dig and search. And God says, wisdom is that. Are you willing to dig? Are you willing to search? Are you willing to make it a treasure in your life? Often as Christians and even other religious people, we think that wisdom is a formula. The formula for right living. We have 12 steps to a happy life. Or we have 15 godly principles to be successful. And I will tell you right now that wisdom cannot be found in a formula or in a principle. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not only the Word of God who has become flesh. Jesus is the wisdom of God. If you want to be wise, don't seek a formula or a principle. Seek Jesus. Right? And Jamie talked about this at his concert last night. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his time, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Are the scriptures bad? No, the scriptures are good. But Jesus goes on to say, for in these you think you have eternal life. He says, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. You search the scriptures, for in them, the scriptures, you think you have life. There's not scriptures, there's not life in the scriptures apart from Jesus. The scriptures are pointing us from Genesis to Revelation to Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm the life. If you want to have life, it's in me. It's not in the formula. It's not in the principle. It's in me. And now let's switch the word around. Jesus says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have wisdom. But the scriptures speak of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have wisdom. Why do we want to go to the Bible? To know Jesus. To learn more about Jesus. If you want to understand the fear of the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has shown you the way. He says, receive my word like treasure. Incline your ears to my word, to me. He says, I want you to apply what I say to your life. I want you to cry out to me. I want you to lift your voice up to me. And I will give you strength. I will forgive you. I will be there. I will be your strength. And he says, and search for me as I am the greatest treasure. Because you know why? I am. Jesus is the pearl of great price. He's the one that this man, he was a pearl collector. And he saw the one pearl that he thought, this is it. I'm willing to give up everything for this. And Jesus says, that's me. I'm the pearl. Everything else is lame and worthless compared to me. Then, we see in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord.
But can't I just sort of like you? Can't I, maybe flip through a page or two every once in a while and, maybe pray and still have the fear of the Lord and wisdom? God says, no.
I'm it. I'm number one. Just pretend I'm the creator of the world and everything rests on me. Ooh, I am.
Oh, right.
You made me and everything I have is yours. Try to remember that. And then we ended up in verse 6. And in verse 6 it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." In the end, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the end, wisdom is a gift. And it's a gift that God gives to us. Some might be saying, but you said that we have to receive and we have to incline and apply and cry out. And you said we have to do that. So which one is it? Is it God giving it as a gift, or is it us doing all of these things? And I say it's yes, it's both. It's a gift that God gives. Well, let me explain. God commands men to seek Him for salvation. But they can only do this because God first sought them, can't they? God provided a way for you and I to be saved. God sent His Son to earth to save us. Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus went and died on the cross as a substitute for all who will ever come to Him. Right? And Jesus rose from the dead, proclaiming to the universe that I am the Son of God, and that death has no hold on me, and if you trust in me, it'll have no hold on you. And Jesus ascends into heaven, pours His Spirit out now, and if the Spirit of God does not sovereignly change your heart, you're not going to seek God. The Bible says none seek after God. So then why do people seek God? Because God first sought you. Praise to God. God commands men to love Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. But then we also read in the Bible that we love God because God first loved us. God, who is love, sacrificed and gave His all on the cross, and now God works in our hearts by His Spirit, and God works in us in such a way that He's working through us. So it's because God's love is working in me that I can love God back, and I can love my neighbor as myself. So which one is it? It's a mystery. I'm not going to sit here and I'm going to tell you, well, it's a very easy little... No, it's both. God is working, and God says, you work. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, Paul says, for God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We shouldn't get so confused of, well, does this mean that if God does the work, am I supposed to sit in my basement and do nothing? No. God says that the revealed things are ours. Don't get your mind in the secret things. God tells you to do stuff. Pray, Lord, give me strength to do it. And go and do it. And so with all this, we can seek after wisdom. Why? Because wisdom first sought us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus is the wisdom from God. Wisdom sought you, so now you, by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, can seek wisdom. And I end that may our hearts strive after the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is our highest treasure, and knowing that as you seek God with all your heart and you are pursuing wisdom, that it's only because wisdom first sought and pursued you. May Jesus receive the glory and the honor and the praise in our life. Amen.
Please turn in your canvas to page 342. And let's stand together to sing.
Thou art.
Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we'll take up tithes and offerings.
Two tables in the world, the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Between the two is the division of light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness, good and evil. This means that the choice must be one of the two. The two cannot be combined or blended in order to create a third way. Life is simple. Love God and hate sin. Life is not complicated. Love God, love His people, love His word, love His sacraments, love His church. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and we are summoned to this fear, and we are strengthened at this table for that hatred. Remember that the Ephesians were commended for their hatred of the deeds of the Nicolaitans, but were rebuked for falling from their first love. The intensity of our love for Jesus will not lessen our hatred for all that arrays itself against Jesus. Far from it. This table nourishes your love and it nourishes your hatred. Love God and hate evil. If you do not feel yourself to have the strength for this, come here to this table to receive the strength. You do not come to this table as a reward for being strong. You come to this table weak, knowing that only God can make you strong. The instrument He uses to enable you to receive this strength is faith. And even this faith is given to you as a gift, so that no one can boast. Little children, you are coming to this table not because you are strong, but because God intends to make you strong. He will do this by His grace. So just come in simple faith. All of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As heirs together of such gracious promises, let us come to Christ's table, pursuing the things which make for peace, honoring the weak, and discerning the body into which God, by grace, has engrafted us. Is anyone else pulling up here?
Oh, the creed. Sorry. George is right, I'm wrong.
Let us stand. And with the churches of all ages, let us proclaim our belief in the triune God by saying the Apostles' Creed. Or we'll sing it. If you, it's on the back of your bulletin. Okay.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From death He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Participation in the life-giving body of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father who gives bread for our life, we bless You. You cause us to live not by bread alone, but by the living Word and the living bread who has come down from heaven. Amen. Given our hearts through Your Son, whose blood was poured out for us that we may drink of Him and share in the abundance of His light and Spirit. Amen.
Forever and ever.
parting blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.